Welcome to Community in Code, the podcast about the people, the human beings behind the commit. I am here today with Michelle Frechette. I am your host, Chris Reynolds. Michelle has done a lot of things. It's hard to not see your name in anything relating to WordPress or WordPress community. I will let you introduce yourself. Michelle, go for sure. It. The floor is yours.
I'm more the community part of the Community and Code than the code part of Community and Code, for sure. Although, I do have a plugin in the repository. It is a fork of Hello Dolly, so I know that doesn't get me a lot of street cred. But I understand CSS a little, so there you go. I'm Michelle Frechette. Right now, I am serving as the executive director of PostStatus. That's been going on for a few years now. I also have a bunch of side projects that I work on, including some podcasts of my own. And I have some things that are coming out even this week that are going to be interesting for people to learn about me. And they're not public yet, so you'll have to wait and see what those are. But that'll be coming out shortly. And I'm starting to create some of my own side projects as well. Some things like it's already come out. People can go ahead and see speednetworkonline.com, which people are making reservations for now, for our first tech speed networking online, which we're going to have people in breakout rooms in Zoom. So you'll get to meet up to 15 people during that 75 minutes of time so that you can learn more about what people do and maybe make some connections for networking for work. And then I just really love WordPress and the community. So I do a lot with the photography team. I do a lot with the community team. And I was one of the co-release coordinators for 6.8 that came out this year, which makes me sound a lot more code than I am, because you don't actually have to know code to do that job. But yeah, so I do a lot in the community, and I just really love this community a lot.
I also have a fork of Hello Dolly. My fork of Hello Dolly is called Hello Ziggy, and it's the lyrics of Ziggy Stardust. So
oh, cool.
So you're not alone. I think that's sort of a little bit of a rite of passage to make your Hello Dolly fork. What got you involved in WordPress, and what got you involved in the sort of community side of WordPress?
Yeah. So in WordPress itself, I had forgotten that when I tell people I've been using WordPress since 2011, the truth is I had used WordPress for a few years prior to that, probably a good 5 years prior to that, without even knowing it was WordPress, right? Because I was blogging for our local newspaper. And so it was a very early version of WordPress that they were afraid to update. And it was probably always breaking as well. But I say hired, but it was a no pay job, right? I was recruited to be a business blogger for our local Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. And so I was writing things and then putting them on that blog there. But in earnest, started using WordPress when in 2011, my best friend and I, she was a massage therapist. I had helped run a massage therapy school. I was the campus director for that before I got into tech at all. And she wanted to start a nonprofit that would help massage therapists continue in their jobs. They were taught how to massage. They weren't taught how to have businesses and be good business owners and those kinds of things. They also had to have continuing education units, things like that. So we started a nonprofit. It's no longer in existence, but if you want to go check it out, you can go to thearchive.org and you can type in New York State Massage. It was actually Rochester Massage Alliance was the first one, .org. Then it was New York's Massage Alliance after that. We went statewide, and while we did that, we didn't know how to build a website. I didn't know how to, I knew how to I could put something on on my computer, but I had no idea how to actually build a website. Her husband was a WordPress developer, so he, put it together using Genesis, a website for us, and he's showing it to us, and we're oohing and aahing and everything all over it. And this is even before mobile responsiveness, right? So it would not render well on your phone at this point. But we're oohing and aahing. And so we start sending him the content. And his response was, "Whoa, ladies, I built it. you have to put the content in. We're like, how do you do that? He's like, here's your login, figure it out, basically. It's not that hard, right? And so I logged in and I started putting information on the homepage. And I did one of those things, like, you know how like when you put the Christmas tree up in the front window, you run outside to see what it looks like. You go back in, you adjust a little bit, you run outside to see what it looks like. So I was putting things on the homepage and then quick opening another tab to see what it looked like to the rest of the world. And I was just like, mind blown that I could put something on the web that anybody in the world with Wi-Fi and, you know, open borders kind of thing could actually look at. I mean, not that they were, right? Like, but they could. The idea was I could put words on a page and people could be like, I see what she is doing there, no matter where you were in the world. And that was pretty heady stuff. I was like, this is pretty cool. And so I wanted to learn how to do more than just put words on the page. I wanted to learn how that happened. And he says to me, well, you know, buy the domain, get hosting, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I understand that. What I don't understand, because this is before our one button, right, installs on sites or already just done installs on sites now. I said, I understand how to buy a domain. I understand how to purchase hosting. What I don't understand is how does the WordPress get on the domain so that I can actually put the information into it? And so he says, if you come over on Thursday night, Christine's working late. If you cook dinner for our four kids, I will show you how to build a website. And so that's what we did. I went over there. He walked me through four basic steps. One of them included salt keys. Remember when we used to have to put salt keys in our... Because he wouldn't let me button anything. He made me understand how to download it, how to upload it, how to use all those things so that I had a true understanding of how WordPress operated. And by the end of that week, I had created a domain, bought the domain, bought the hosting, and had the start of a website for myself. And so that's how it kind of started. It was very, like, the kids were, like, eating spaghetti, and he's showing me on his computer how to purchase hosting and how you actually get WordPress on the host site. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then
I remember
the bug bit.
I remember before I started really using WordPress, I had a weblog before they were actually called blogs, and it was all in HTML, and it was running on a server that I had at home, and I used like a dynamic DNS thing to give myself like a URL that could be accessible to the internet, and that's what I used for a number of years. And at some point, I decided, hey, it would be easier if there was some kind of CMS thing. That, I mean, I didn't call it a CMS at the time, but it would be really cool if there was some sort of script that did this for me. But I didn't, that wasn't when I actually started using WordPress. What actually prompted me to start using WordPress was I had a site, I found a blogging platform on a website called hotscripts.com, and it was called S-Blog. And it was just a blogging platform. The front end of the site basically looked like it had the Kubrick theme. It wasn't the Kubrick theme, but it was very, very similar. You know, that's just sort of what blogs looked like at the time. And I was using that to post pictures of my newborn son for family. Yeah, and then at some point, similar to sort of Matt's own origin story of, you know, he was using B2 Cafe Log, and then the developer kind of went missing for a period of time, and he was like, okay, this isn't getting updates, so I want to do something. the lead developer of S-Blog kind of just was, you know, missing or like, you know, not responding to support requests for a while. And I was like, okay, so there's probably something else I can use. And I think a friend of mine had been using WordPress. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can spin this thing up. And I just migrated everything over manually. This was like in the, I don't know, 2-point-something days. the rest is sort of history. So that was about 20 years ago. It's been a long while.
I still have poetry on blogspot.com that I should probably pull down there before blogspot.com goes away and make my own, you know, put it on my own website. So thank you for helping me remember that so that I can go and pull all those things off there. I'd be like, damn, that was such a good poem too. I mean, who reads other people's poetry, really? I mean, if you're not Emily Dickinson, it's just for yourself. But you know, I had my moments of angst.
Haven't we all? I mean, I had a live journal at some point. I don't even know where that is anymore. And yeah, all of that stuff, the early days of the web.
You asked me how I got involved in the community. That's an interesting
Yes.
story too. So I had never heard of meetups, and I never heard of WordCamps and things like that when I was just working on our site. But her husband said, "Oh, you should come to our meetup sometime." I went to the meetup. I was the only woman in a room full of men. The room was darkened so that they like this projector could show up, and they were talking about like DigitalOcean and CSS and things that I had no concept of. So let's just say it was several years before I went back to a meetup. At that point, they were saying things like, well, you know, they were they'd say, "Hey, we haven't had a meetup in a while. Is everybody available on Tuesday?" Like, who thinks like that? You know, so we're like, not me. But then they said they needed somebody to run the meetup, and I took over doing that. And I was like, okay, first Monday of every month from 6:30 to 8:30, go, kind of thing. You know, so it was kind of some regularity. You could plan for it. And then I went to my first WordCamp, which was WordCamp Buffalo back in 20. It was either 14 or 15. I think it might have been 14. And I was so like blown away by back then it was $20. You got lunch, you got some coffee in the morning, you got to meet all these people. There was an event afterwards, the after party I didn't go to because I was like too shy to do that kind of. I mean, it's hard to think of me as shy, but at the time I felt shy in that community because I was not a techie. And so the thought of like hanging out with tech people, I was already kind of at my mental limit by the end of the day, and it was in a city I had to drive home from. I wish I'd gone because now I know how great the after parties are and how what great networking happens. From that, I went to WordCamp Toronto that year, brought my daughter with me, drove up to Toronto, like got a hotel room, did that for the whole weekend. That was a blast. That's when I got my first WordPress swag. It was a sippy cup from GoDaddy, and I was like, I've heard of GoDaddy, and now I have their swag. I felt like I had it, I had arrived. And so I said to the guys from Buffalo, I'm like, if you ever want, we could think about having like Rochester and Buffalo combined and just do WordCamp Western New York. And they're like, no, we like ours. I was like, okay, but you can help us plan one if you want. So I started jumped in and I started helping them plan the next one and applied to speak at it. When I was really not doing anything more than just the social media for them. And I played to speak at it, and I gave my first WordCamp talk called The Hidden Secrets of WordPress, because these were things that as a new user, I discovered I didn't know how to do. Things like screen options, right? So like if you're on a page and there's screen options, or you're looking at a list, you're in your menus, the screen options and menus allows you to put those targets and things like that on there. And I was like, other people need to know about these things. And so I like went down this wormhole of all these, you know, Alice's rabbit hole of all the things that you could do in WordPress that I didn't know how to do. And including one that there's no button for, which was like, you know, slash PHP, I don't remember what it was now. Something PHP. Anyway, there's where it gives you like all of the everything you can change on one on your site, which you could do a lot of damage there if you don't know what you're doing. But I was talking and I had like 40 people in the room, and it was the only time I was worried that I might be an imposter. Like that you know, I didn't actually have imposter syndrome, but I was also worried that what if I'm wrong? What if some of the things I'm saying aren't actual? Even though I tried them and I'd done them and whatever. And after I gave that talk, it's like, and I'll be out at the happiness bar if anybody has questions and wants to follow up. I had people lined up to talk to me for about 45 minutes afterwards. And it was none of them were saying, "You're wrong." None of them were saying, "Imposter." None of them were saying, like, ringing the bell in Game of Thrones, "Shame, shame." Like, none of that happened, right? And I was like, this is pretty cool. Instead, people were asking my opinions. They were asking me, now, what was that thing you said about this again? They were, and it was just amazing. Oh, options.php. That's what it is. Slash options.php. That's the one that'll get you in a lot of trouble. You're welcome to anybody who wants to actually F up their whole website. Have at it. And so, like, I had developers in the room. They're like, I never heard of options.php. And I was like, oh, I taught a developer something. That's pretty cool, right? Because here I am feeling like this person who's giving a tech talk who has a background of 20 years working in higher education. So from there, I went to where the first ever WordCamp US, and I sat down at the community table with Andrea Middleton, and I said, you know, we're thinking someday of having a WordCamp in Rochester. She says, why are you thinking about it someday? Why don't you just do it? I was like, well, I don't really, you know, I've only been to a few myself, and I don't, you know, I don't know. By the end of the conversation, I was committing to have a WordCamp in Rochester the next year. And so we had our first WordCamp Rochester. I started applying to speak at more and more places. I started getting accepted to speak at more and more places. I still was freelancing for myself, but it was at WordCamp Pittsburgh that I met the team from Give. I met Jason Knill and Devin Walker, and I was just really impressed by the product that they had. And so I learned about them. I bought Give for one of my clients who was running a nonprofit, implemented it. The following year, probably later the same year, actually, I was talking to them again. Jason Knill was at WordCamp Ottawa. And I was telling them about how I'd implemented it on this website that was raising money for kids to have food in South Sudan, and showed them the pictures and showed them the website, and they thought it was really good. So they interviewed me about that website to put on their blog. And then at the end of it, I shook Jason's hand and I said, if you're ever looking for somebody to join your team, yours is the product that I would give up my freelancing to do. And by January of the next year, I was the head of customer success at GiveWP. And then I just kept, and from there, I just kept growing. I was able to speak in more places. I was helping organize WordCamp US. I had my podcast and I had done a bunch of things like that. And I created outside sources of things that were helpful to the community. Like I tweet once a week, usually. It's been a little crazy lately, but once a week I tweet about 10 companies that are hiring in WordPress so that people who are looking for jobs have some place to start. It was during COVID that I had to take a vacation, but I couldn't go anywhere. So during that time, I built WPCareerPages.com so that I don't know how to import things. I didn't know how to do APIs and all of that. But I knew that if you went to this website and you're like looking, I want to find a job in WordPress, all of the career pages for all these different, like 100 different companies, you can click through and see if they're hiring. And so it was all in one place. And then I started, and then Allie Nimmons and I started underrepresentedintech.com, which was a database so that people who are underrepresented, whether it's by racial minority, by LGBTQ status, by disability, whatever makes you underrepresented, you could join that database to be found, to be an expert in your field, to be hired, to be on podcasts, things like that. And then it grew to me starting WP Speakers, which I just recently sold to PostStatus, and doing those kinds of things. So I like to provide opportunities for the community to grow without spending money. And I have fun doing those things. I like when I take a vacation and I create something that people can use. And so like WP Speakers, I started building it Monday night. Wednesday, I soft launched it at the Adorim Summit that year. By Friday, at 75 people signed up, and I'm like, I haven't finished building it yet, people, wait! And now I've sold it. So that's, I still get to run it because it's part of PostStatus. But those are the kinds of things I think that are really helpful to community. Not just, yes, I work in the community too. I'm on the community team. I've been on release squads 3 times now. I am on the photos team, and I do photo moderation, and I'm table lead a lot of places when we have contributor days. And those are wonderful. And I think we all need to get more involved in those kinds of things. But there are things outside of WordPress.org that we can do to uphold and support the community as well. And those are the kind of projects that I love to spin up, because I think that it's something that will help people understand how to use WordPress for themselves, how to be involved, how to really be part of the DEI, DEIB network of people to help underrepresented groups, and also feeds into the WordPress.org community as well. So it's not an and or, it's an and, right? So that's it's just a really kind of cool thing. So to create a career for myself where I've been able to be a resource to others has been really, really rewarding to me.
Yeah, and you started the virtual stage, PostStatus virtual stage recently, which, you know, spoiler, I was the first guest on that. You're going to be the first guest on this because you're the first one that replied when I was asking people to come on the show. I mean, I know the story of the virtual stage, the PostStatus virtual stage, but for anyone who might be listening, tell the story about how that got started.
Yeah, so we've had 2 so far, and then a little bit of a hiatus because I lost my job and trying to figure out how to do all these other things. But it is coming back. I've got like 12 more people that want to do that right now without even advertising it much. But I have like my bucket list of things that I want to do. And one of them is to speak at all three flagship events. And as of last year, I've spoken at WordCamp US. I've spoken at WordCamp Asia three times, and I have never once been selected to speak at WordCamp Europe. So every year I try, and I'm not mad. It's not like, I mean, I know there's a million people that apply, and I don't think that I should be given any special consideration. If you don't like my topics for that camp, that's fine. But the thing is, I keep wanting to, right? And it's like, oh, did you see that Debbie Downer music? Like, wah, wah, wah. You know, when you get the letter saying, thank you for your lovely submission, however, right? We had so many, blah, 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 blah. So the idea was, there's got to be people like me who have this great topic and they want to talk about it. And they think it's great for other people to hear. And the one that I had pitched over to WordCamp Europe this year was how to take your blog and turn it into a book, because that blogging that I had done for the local newspaper is now a book called A Good Firm Handshake and Other Essential Business Tips on Amazon and other places. But I also give it away as a PDF. So if somebody really wants to read it and can't afford it, just hit me up. I'll send you a copy. It's not a big deal. It's not a revenue stream for me. It's just about getting information into people's hands. But going through the whole process of, I mean, blog posts for the newspaper, they didn't want more than 500 words because you didn't have a lot of column space if they were putting it in the newspaper. And they did put a bunch of mine in the newspaper. And so 500 words is not really a chapter. So you have to take a blog post and you have to figure out how to, you know, enlarge it. You want to turn it into make it meatier, make it a whole chapter as opposed to bullet point ideas. And then you take the whole thing and you like look at a gap analysis. Like, what am I missing in this book? How do I order my chapters in this book? How do I actually take it from like a PDF or whatever and actually turn it into print? And how do I sell it in a marketplace? And so I did that whole process. And I thought, wouldn't that be a great thing for other people who are like, my blog rocks, I want this to be a book, to understand and get some tips on how to do that as opposed to have to figure it out themselves like I did. And I thought other people should want to hear the story. And so I just posted it on socials like, hey, if anybody's interested in this topic that didn't get picked, you know, no tears, but if anybody's interested in this topic, let me know, because I'll put it out on YouTube or something. And then forgive me for not remembering the person's name because it's been a week, said to me, why don't you do it live so that people could comment and have that conversation with you while you're doing it, as though it were on a stage somewhere. And I was like, that's brilliant. And then I was talking to Jeff Betancourt, who co-works with me here in my office space once a week, and we work together at Stellar. He said, why don't you just do that for other people too. You've got a platform, right? And so I was like, oh yeah, we could totally turn this into a virtual stage series through PostStatus. And so that's exactly what happened. I put it out there and 12 people replied. You were the first. And so you were the first one up as well. So so your talk was great and people interacted and people came to watch it. And were there 40 people in the audience? Not yet, but that's okay because that's how the web works. People will actually, you know, say, well, I'll catch it on the replay, which is fine too, right? And so that's I mean, we do that at WordCamps. It's like, I'm going to go talk to people because I can watch your talk later kind of thing, right? So we have the post status, and I had already talked to Joost de Valk about purchasing WP speakers. So we started to combine those things together back then, even before we had done it. So it's the post status WP speakers virtual stage series, which is very long mouthful, but you know, whatever. It's in print. It doesn't matter. So yeah, so we've had two so far. We have about 12 more that are coming. I just have to coordinate which Tuesdays people are available to do those things because it is live. It's important to me that it be live because at a WordCamp, it's live and you have that same kind of excitement about giving a live talk, even if you can't see the audience, and having an MC there with you. So you're not just kind of producing your own content, putting it out there, hoping people find it. It gives us an opportunity to work with people in the community and show one more way that post status is really valuable to the community as well.
Yeah. And I, as I understand that talk about turning your blog into a book is still, you still haven't given that talk. I'm actually quite yeah. interested in that. I don't have the problem with writing blog posts that are 500 words or less. I have a problem with writing blog posts that are 2,000 words or more. That's my
exactly. That's I think the meat of that process, right? Is not only looking at what chapters do I need in a book, what blog posts like of all the blog posts I had written, which do I include, which do I exclude? Because they maybe are more like, I wrote one, they asked me to do one on predictions for, what was it, 2018. Like what was going to happen in the tech world in 2018 and business world. That does not belong in a book that's an evergreen book, right? So like, what did you drop? What did you add? What areas were there real gaps? Where did I not have something in there that I really felt should? And I added a couple chapters that way. But also like, okay, now I have like 14 chapters that are 350 to 500 words. That's not a book, that's a pamphlet, right? So like, what do I do with this now? And the process of really looking hard at yourself and what you've written and thinking in the way that a reader would read it, because you know the information. So you are filling in the blanks already in your head. But how could I turn this into more of a read? So it's not like point A, point B, point C, but it still walks you through a whole process. And so that's kind of that process, I think it takes a little more explaining, a little more fleshing out, and really helping people look at what they have. It'd be a great workshop, quite honestly. It'd be a good work, like a weekend workshop for people to do, where you actually come with your blog post and we look together and see how we can fulfill those kinds of things. But I think it'll be a good talk. And I said, but I created the virtual stage. Now it'd be weird for me to put myself on it. And I've had several people say, oh, I'll be your MC for you to do that. And I will do it eventually. I want to get the people who've applied on the stage first before I throw myself on the same stage. So it will happen. It will be coming. And if you, Chris, if you want to work on your book in the meantime, hit me up. I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Yeah. I mean, I'll stick on this for a little bit. I'm interested in the point that you made about like taking something that's 500 words and then making it meatier. So that implies to me that there's a lot of, you know, you have to go through and really intentionally like look at the details of the original post and then like figure out, like frame it in such a way that like, it's not just a moment in time. Like blog posts are kind of like even if they are kind of evergreen posts, they are just a snapshot of that moment of like whatever you were thinking, whatever was going on in the world at the time that the blog post it's kind of set, and turning that into something that's a little bit deeper is a interesting sort of thought experiment that is probably valuable to, I mean, anyone
who's
like serious about writing, you know.
But if you could look at one blog post and think, how could I turn that into a three-part blog post? Now you've got it into, you know, now you've got it into 1500 words, and that's more of a chapter, right? So like, how do I expand on it? How, instead of just saying, here's an idea and a concept, which is a lot of what a blog post is, right? You've got knowledge-based articles that are more how-tos, if you really think about it that way. But if you think about blog posts and the interest and the way that we storytell with them, how can I turn that into something that's a little bit meatier, that it takes it from being like, here's a concept and an idea and a little bit about it, to here's a concept, an idea, and let's really talk about it. And that's, I think, the difference.
Yeah, that's really, it's a really cool thing.
Thanks.
Let's switch gears a little bit. So you're executive director at PostStatus. What does that mean? How would you describe PostStatus to somebody who's maybe listening to this and doesn't know much about the ins and outs of the WordPress community? What do you do in your executive director sort of role?
Sure. Well, the WordPress community is a very large community, and it is just, I always tell people, like, community is defined in so many different ways, but it really has to do with people that are like-minded about something or have something in common. Like, I live in Hilton, New York. That is a community. The common factor there is we all live in the same geographic location. So we are widely and vastly different, but we have that pride in local whatever, right? Our football team or those kinds of things. When you look at a global community, it's very different. I think about Jeep owners. I often compare it to Jeep owners. Jeep owners are a very special breed of people. There are Jeep owners who don't care that there's a Jeep community. And then there are your diehard Jeep owners that are putting rubber ducks on each other's cars, that are doing meets. I have a friend who has so much into her Jeep ownership that during the lockdown, they were given an opportunity to drive on the Watkins Glen Speedway, on the race course itself. And so I opted into that, and I got to ride with her in her Jeep on the speedway. Well, that's a Jeep club kind of thing. And those people are like decking out their Jeeps. They're putting eyelashes or I know all kinds of different things, right? Taking their doors off, taking their roofs off, putting different, the whole thing. It's absolutely a culture. And WordPress is the same thing. We have a global community in that we are all using WordPress. There are, and even if you don't know that there's a community, you're part of it because you are using WordPress. When you discover that there are other people and there are meetups and there are WordCamps and there are podcasts and there are, you know, all of those things that draw us together, you either still don't care and you just do your own thing, which is fine. Nobody cares. You're allowed to do that. Or you're like, this is intriguing. I want to be part of this culture that is this community of WordPress. Then there are sub communities in WordPress. So there are people who are, and some of those are meet groups, right? So our make groups on WordPress. So some of those are the developer groups. Some of those are the marketing groups. Some of those are the photography group. And we have those even smaller interests, right? So subcultures of that. PostStatus is a community for WordPress. We have a website. I was just writing a blog post that's going to go out today. Our newsletter will go out tonight. And there is also with that a Slack community. And it is for people who are really into the whole culture and community of WordPress. But it's a subculture. It's a sub-community because although anybody could join, they don't, right? And so you have this, it kind of is microcosms down a little bit into people who are just really driven not only to do their thing with WordPress and be part of the big community, but want to have some of those deeper conversations, want to be involved in the day-to-day and know what's going on in WordPress. And so that's how I describe what PostStatus is. It's a sub-community of the greater community of WordPress. And as executive director, I am entrusted with the day-to-day operations of that. So we don't spend a lot of money. I mean, we have money that we spend, trust me. I have a pay, you know, we all get payroll. Like this is not a volunteer job for me. I do get money to do that. We pay our writers, we pay things, you know, we pay people that are my behind the scenes people that are doing all the tech work on my podcasts and blog and videos and things like that. And then we also have to, you know, pay for hosting and all those things that other people do as well. But it's more than that. I am the one who's like having conversations with people who are maybe being bad players in the community. Those are not my favorite conversations. When I have to say to somebody, I deleted your post because, or if this keeps up, I'm going to have to remove you from Slack and those kinds of things. It's few and far between, but it does happen. More likely, I'm answering questions of how do I get somebody else in here? And I'm like, here's the coupon code. They can join for $50 a year, right? Like it's people want to invite people in all the time. Great. They have to pay their $50. This is a membership community, which is not a big deal, right? It's really worth the $50 that you pay. Or get your company to pay for it if you're not freelancing. That's even better. But there are things there that I have to do. On Fridays, I do a fairly new feature. I do Freelancer Fridays because freelancers feel like they don't, like nobody knows who they are because they're agencies of one or small agencies. And they want people to know like, hey, if you're looking for somebody to run social media or to do SEO on your site or whatever, I'm available for that, but they're not going to post that they need a job. They're not going to post in gigs because they're just constantly available for those kinds of things. And so we're doing Freelancer Fridays now just to kind of give people an opportunity to say, this is who I am. This is what I do. You know, we post the newsletter on Tuesdays. So we glean through what people post about what they're doing. The self-promotion part of that is absolutely a feed into our newsletter, things like that. And we also post socially and things. So I'm hopefully by this fall going to have a reiteration. We did this a few years back of a career summit for WordPress. We'll be coming back and we'll have two tracks for that. One for career seekers and one for people who are in HR and employing others to give them best case use cases and give them tips and tricks on how to do hiring and how you should, you know, go about searching for a job. So those are the kinds of things that we provide. And when people have ideas, like somebody said, hey, we need a channel for music. I was like, oh, I made that 3 weeks ago. So here's the music channel. Because it doesn't all have to be just about WordPress. We are human beings who have WordPress at the core of how we're connected, but we also have a lot of other things in common. So there's a lot of different Slack channels in there. Like, what are you reading? It's the book channel, you know, your music tastes. And I started a foodie channel because I was tired of reading about everybody's sandwiches in the main channel. And then they were like, hey, can we have a vegan channel too? I'm like, sure. You know, so all of these different things that allow even the you know, when you get it down to the granularity of things that pull even smaller microcosms of people together to allow people to have those common communities. So those are a lot of the things that I do, is keep an eye on feel like the mother hen of the group, if you will, right? So making sure everybody's happy and fed and warm in our community, welcoming new members, things like that. But also, if you're the mom, you're also the one who has to uphold the rules and make sure that people are, you know, staying on the up and up. And for the by and large, they are, right? It's really few and far between where there's a little bit of animosity. And so, but when that does happen, you know, I keep an eye on it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of post status. I've been a member for a really, really long time, since back when I was at WebDev, which was in the 2014 ish time. I think I left WebDev in 2016. So I've been in post status. I wasn't active in the Slack channel for a really, really long time, but I always would look at post status because the job stuff, like the aggregating WordPress jobs was one of the best sources. I still kind of feel like, you know, that's an easier aggregator if I'm looking for what's available in the WordPress space than other things. It's more central. I rejoined post status a couple years ago, or not rejoined, but rejoined the Slack, re-logged in, I guess, to the Slack a couple years ago. And since then, I've been more active in there, and I see it, I'm also in the WordPress core Slack, but I feel like because it's a subset, but it's also a broad subset, and it's also a subset of people that are largely doing the business of using WordPress and building sites on WordPress and whatever, that my experience has been that it's an easier place to connect with actual people doing the work than the WordPress core. There's so much going on, and it's very focused on either core development or core projects or, you know, events, very specific sort of silos. Whereas the post status community feels more like a community, bringing that back to the title of the podcast and the interest, I think, of both of us of this idea of bringing people together and giving them space, more so than the core Slack. And I actually feel as I'm thinking about it now, I was in the WordPress IRC channels way back in the day. I'm sure you remember those too. And even that, I feel like it felt more welcoming. In as much as IRC is welcoming and easy to use, which is not really, I feel like it's the core Slack channels are kind of more sterile than maybe they once were. And maybe that's just the product of WordPress getting bigger, and it's a bigger project, and there's lots of things going on. And post status feels to me more like sort of the vibe of what those old IRC channels were like back in the day.
Yeah, I've never been on IRC, but I know about them. And I didn't join WordPress, really, the community at all, or know anything about it until 2014. So that was probably before my time as far as WordPress goes. I was an AOL Instant Messenger back in the day, but...
yeah,
I gave myself a thumbs up on the computer.
I was on all the things back in the day. There was ICQ and I didn't do, I had an AOL Instant Messenger account, but I never used AOL really. My parents did. But yeah, back in the olden times of communicating with people on the internet. Yeah.
I'm probably old enough to be your mother. So that tracks.
So tell me about some of the new stuff you have coming up. You mentioned the Speed Network Online. How did that come to be?
So June Liu is a friend of mine. She and I are the co-leads for the marketing team for WP Accessibility Day, which is coming up October 15th and 16th. Just a little plug there. But she is a freelancer, and she really does a lot of it with accessibility. And she loves doing social media, and that's really her niche. And she wants to be able to do that for companies who don't want to manage their social media. And she does accessible social media, make sure there's always alt descriptions, et cetera. And she said to me one day, I don't know how to network in WordPress as easily, because if I go to an in-person meetup, everybody's there to talk about their websites. Nobody's really there to do networking for that. Online meetups are sometimes even harder if they're not focusing on that. I said, yeah, it is really hard. I went to speed networking once at the local Rochester Chamber of Commerce. There was like 100 people in the room. So you only got to meet, you didn't get to meet them all, everybody for sure. But there's an outer circle and inner circle. And just like speed dating, like every 5 minutes, they bring the bell and everybody'd swap to the right or the left and you'd be talking to somebody new. I said, we could do that with Zoom rooms. We have 30 people, 15 stay stationary in their room. The other 15 cycle through those 15 rooms. I said, we could do this. And as we're chatting on Zoom, I'm like, okay, I just registered speednetworkonline.com. She's like, wait, we're really doing this? I'm like, I'm doing it. I want you in on it if you want to come in on it. And so she actually did the majority of the work on the site. I got it all registered and hosted, and she made the front page look beautiful. I made the forms, and you can already RSVP. We are charging $20 a person, because I've learned if you don't charge enough, people will just skip. Like, oh, I don't really feel like doing it today, which lets down everybody else that shows up and paid that money, because they were told there's going to be X number of people. And so we thought, let's give it a try. We'll do it after WordCamp Europe, so Michelle has some time to recover before we go and try to figure this whole thing out. And so it's June 26th. It's at, I believe, 1 p.m. Eastern in the United States here. So you can always figure out what that is in your local time zone. We've already got people all over the world registered for it. Well, I say all over the world, outside of the United States. I will say we have people outside of the United States also registered for it. Everybody is English speaking because it is an English speaking event. And what we've asked people on the intake form when they register is information that we are then, and they know this when they sign up for it, going to make available to only that group of people. So if when we have another one in July, they will not have access to the people's information from June. But the people that you meet, the people that have signed up for your networking event, you will get their networking information afterwards. So you don't have to be writing fast and furious. You don't have to be like taking screenshots of people's business cards. If people still have business cards, I do, but I'm old school. And then, but those kinds of things. And so we want to make it as easy as possible. In that it's only 5 minutes, so you only get 2.5 minutes to really say who you are and what you do. And the other person gets that 2.5 minutes to say who they are and what they do. But let's say that you and I are in that room, and I do social media with a attention to accessibility, and you're like, I just launched this new product and I need social media. And be like, all right, let's talk afterwards, right? And now we've got each other's contact information because we share it with you afterwards. And then you are able to make those connections on the outside because you made that connection through speed networking. So that's the big one that's coming up right now. I'm also working on a project with Corey Moss, which is going to take a little bit more time. I have owned the URL wpwiki.org for a very long amount of time. And we're actually going to start building a WP Wiki that anybody can add articles to. Anybody can edit articles. And I'm hoping that it'll be more than just like, hey, this is me or this is my business. I'm hoping it'll be articles on like, what are APIs? What are webhooks? How do I, you know, what's CSS? Things like that, that will be a one-stop place that people won't have to search everywhere to learn what we do in WordPress and some of the things, the terminologies that we use, some of the how-tos that you might need. And also, like, people are like, well, how are you going to monetize that? Well, I know exactly how we're going to monetize that, because there will be companies who will want their pages, want to have like a vanity page in there. So let's say that GoDaddy wants to have a vanity page in there. They should have one. But the basis of how a wiki works is that I could then go in and edit it. And let's say that I had a bad experience with any company, not just GoDaddy, right? But I have a bad experience. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to edit it, and I'm going to, because I can do that anonymously or whatever, I can be nasty and be like, don't buy GoDaddy or whatever, right? Well, if I gave you the opportunity to pay to lock that down, you could now have a vanity page on there that's good for your SEO, because it's one more place on the internet that's talking about you. Use the keywords you want. I'm not going to police all that kind of stuff. It's yours to figure out. But then you'll pay an annual fee to lock that page down so that others cannot edit your page about you. You won't be able to do that on an article like what are APIs, right? Because that is not specific to a business or a person. But you know, there will be an article about Matt Mullenweg. How do you not have an article about Matt Mullenweg? He's been somewhat controversial this year. I will automatically lock that. I'm not going to charge Matt to do that, but I'm going to lock that down because I don't want my wiki page to be just like people arguing about Matt's role in the community. I want that to be a historical description of what he's done for WordPress. And so that will be a locked page. So that's one of the projects. And then this will be dropping soon too. So if you look at any of these sites and you don't see anything, it's because they are very, very much still in the infancy. And some of them are just in ideation. I'm working with Marcus Burnett on Sponsor Me WP, which will be a place that if you are like me, who is doing all of this free work in the community, companies like Kinsta, who is now sponsoring me 5 hours a month, can look and see who else is in the community that's looking to be sponsored. It'll be a directory of those people. You won't be charged to use it at all. We are doing it as a gift to the community. It will tie to WP Speakers. It will tie to the WP World. If you have links in both of those places, you can include them. But it's a place to kind of talk about who you are. It's really a lot about like what Aruba Ahmed is doing in GitHub, but people like me in marketing don't necessarily understand how GitHub works. I'm just going to be honest, right? Like if you're a graphic artist who works in WordPress, you don't want to have to have a GitHub, right? You want to just be able to fill out a form on a website and be have like, boom, there it is. There I am with my Gravatar, etc. So Marcus has done some great, the homepage looks phenomenal. I will say that. He texted it to me over the weekend. And so those are some projects that I'm working on. And then the last one, well, there's two more, but one of those is going to be Michelle Reviews It. .it, right? Michelle Reviews It. And then I'm going to be building a blog where I review plugins, themes, services, things that you have. And I will be monetizing that, of course. And then as well, I'm going to do some courses. Like I've done a pretty good job of branding myself in our community. And people have come to my sessions to learn about personal branding. And so I'm going to do a course on branding. I'm going to do a course on how to do affiliate marketing properly, so that you and the company can make money and you can both be happy because you're doing it right. And so those will be courses that will be offered at, I think I have takecourses.online is the URL for that. So that'll be developed shortly as well.
How do you do all the things? There's so many things. That is so many things. That's not a small list of things.
Well, not all of them are available yet, but also I'm not a developer, so I use tools, right? So when I build a website, like when I built WP Speakers in 2 days and people were already signing up for it, I use Cadence, I use WS Forms, I use things that were at my disposal because I'm not a developer and I'm not trying to figure out how to do it my way. I'm trying to figure out how to do it in the easiest and most efficient way that still looks pretty, right? Like I still make pretty websites because I'm using themes that people know how to develop and look good. And so I'm doing a lot of that. And then lately it's partnering with people who can help me get it over the finish line because I do have a lot of things in the works right now.
Well, thanks for coming on, Michelle. Do you have any what are your summer plans? I imagine that you're going to be going to some events. Are there places where people can meet you in person?
Yeah.
Meet you online?
I will be at WordCamp Europe, which is next week. So I'm not sure when this is coming out, but I'll be at WordCamp Europe this year.
Coming out, I think, at or right before WordCamp Europe.
All right. Well, if you're listening to this and you're at WordCamp Europe, come find me. I'm the girl on the scooter. And then I will also be going to WordCamp US in August. And I will be going to CloudFest in Miami in November as well. You can find me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. I have open office hours. You can just hit me up. I'll give you a link to that. I also post about it on my Twitter account and as well as my Mastodon and Blue Sky, because I want to make sure that I'm available to other people. And LinkedIn, I think I put it there too. And that's just an open hour where people get to talk to one another. And if you want to, you know, pop in and talk with us, otherwise you can find me on any of the places online and you can find all of my links, anything that is currently available. So you won't find the ones in development at meetmichelle.online. I built my own link tree because I didn't want to be beholden to somebody else's account. So I built my own link tree, meetmichelle.online, and you can find all the links to all the things right there.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for coming on, and I will see you at WordCamp US, if not before.
Excellent.
Thanks for being here.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.